กลับเลยไหม
Yall got it.
You got the meat, man.
I just want to be in the studio when they were recording this.
This is good. I don't
even
know
it.
I'm going to see if I know it.
Bought a lot of groceries and some brisket, too. Smoke it up, eat that with the pork.Salt and pepper is all I use, cause I ain't no pork.
Oh, I'm so close to being able to rhyme.
You had to say dork.
That's why I needed your help. I can't write songs by myself. You've heard the songs I've come up with. Lest we forget.
You're listening to The Best Barbecue Show, the show where we talk, taste, and even try to cook the best barbecue in Texas, which is the best barbecue in the world.
Woo!
Traveling the world. It's spreading like wildfire.
I'm trying to get hyped. How are you doing, Yoni?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Hungry again, of course, since it's early.
Yeah, I mean, I had a little shake after I worked out this morning, but that's about it.
You shook your butt after you worked out?
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to get the lady out of bed. I, like, wake up, go work out, come back, wake her up. I let her go back to sleep today, actually.
Yeah, my girlfriend sometimes lets me go back to sleep. What do you think? Like, I kind of like having this music in the background.
Yeah,
Does
I think
make everything kind of cooler.
I think our 2017 reel should have this in the background.
So who are we talking about this week, Yoni?
Southside Market.
That's right. The legendary.
Get a
ancient,
slammer.
Yeah, get a slammer. They are the sausage masters, not just of Texas, but pretty much anywhere.
I think I saw 100 pounds of sausage like per room when we were in there.
We got a huge tour of this place, and this is the oldest barbecue place in Texas. And I've actually heard people call it the oldest in the country. But for sure, Texas. We're talking 19th century. They sold meat out of a wagon back in the day. And the current family, the Bracewell family, has had it for three generations since the late 60s.
Yeah, and third generation businesses are a huge challenge. They're known to second generation businesses have like a 50% success rate, and third generation have like a 20% success rate. So this is awesome.
Jeez, I mean, first generation businesses are hard enough.
Right?
Man. Yeah, so they are thriving. And the cool part about this one is that we got to actually go and see how the sausage is made.
Yeah, we saw the machines, we saw the racks, we saw the smokers, we saw all the ways they package it. It was actually kind of fun to watch. He actually pulled one off the line. I guess the label was stuck on wrong. So he pulled it off and put it on nice, handed it to the lady. And I mean, they're selling them as fast as they can make them.
I love a good factory tour. Being able to see how things are packaged and made and filled.
Yeah, and if you check our Instagram, you can see we put on hair nets, and I had to put on a net over my face because of my mustache, and we put on these big brown jackets, and you know, we really looked like we were touring a meat factory.
And you know, my camera came out instantly when I heard you had to put on a beard. What is it called? A beard? There's a name for it, isn't there?
Beard guard? I don't know.
Beard guard.
It was hilarious because we brought a GoPro with us. We're trying to get way too much footage. So we were like passing the microphone back and forth and just like holding two cameras each. And we probably look nuts to them.
Yeah. Yoni's mustache is so long now it drags on the floor.
Yeah.
So they were worried about that. They didn't want to get into the sausage.
Yeah. I had to like curl it up, tuck it up, put it away. They're like, that has to go away. That is, the sausage can't handle the mustache.
And we had, not to be braggadocious, to use a word I randomly used last episode, and when I heard it, I was like, where did I come up with that word, braggadocious? But we had the biggest meat tray.
Oh, it was huge.
They keep setting records every time we go to these places because they know we're the meat men.
Well, and this was nice because after we interviewed him, we actually sat down and ate with them and talked and really got a sense of, Brian's a hunter, you know, Nick's an entrepreneur. I can tell he's probably helping push a lot of the new technologies. You know, we found him on Instagram, so it was great.
Yeah, they've really got their stuff going there. The cool thing is they got the tradition down, of course. Like, they're known for that. They make an exceptional sausage in all different types, as well as brisket and chicken. We tried the whole shebang. But they also are very modern in a lot of ways, thanks to the help of Nick. Brian brought him on a couple years ago, and you might know him on Instagram as Grill Anything. He's pretty popular on there because he has 6 big green eggs and he's always cooking.
Shout out to Nick and his big green eggs. Shout out to Nick.
He's a real meat man too. But he is helping to modernize the business. They're shipping meat. They're getting it out and they're doing a good social media presence. I mean, they're really kind of getting that brand out there.
In fact, I think you had an Elgin sausage in your Ray's barbecue burrito in LA.
Shout out to Ray's barbecue. I've been wearing that shirt he gave me a lot. I love it, even if it's a little tight.
I know you got to wash it in between. You can't just like wear it 3 days in a row.
Yeah, Ray, this is a message to Ray. I have not taken off that shirt yet. So thank you. But yeah, he loves that sausage. He gets, when he orders that, he gets 300 pounds to his restaurant in LA, and he only does that sausage because he fell in love with it. And I understand why. I mean, it's great. And the cool thing about it is, you know, a lot of the places that we go to, you can't eat unless you're there. This place, you can try some of their food, even if you don't live here.
Yeah, I just looked on the store. You can buy a whole brisket, and $150 for a whole brisket is actually not that bad.
How many people could you feed at a party with that?
30 or 40, probably.
Well, we just had a party over the weekend, just a basic Halloween party, and it cost about that, just for like chicken wings and other stuff.
Well, they have an advantage, which is they have everything streamlined, so they probably... I mean, Brian was talking about how they don't waste anything. They also just have everything set up so that they can get a brisket out for $145. It's crazy.
How many ghosts of dead animals do you think are in Southside Market and Barbecue?
Oh, it's tangible.
You can feel it.
It's like a fog.
Yeah, because you're in that dining room. It's one of those big kind of dining hall ones, which I love with barbecue. You can sit at a long table. And there's all these heads on the wall. I mean, what were there up there? Just
elk, deer. There was like a bobcat. The bobcat was mounted real nice on a piece of wood. It was awesome.
I think I saw the head of a podcast host who must have crossed them at one time. So right? Let's be careful.
Luckily, podcasting isn't that serious.
The meat men are the most dangerous game.
Right? Yeah, you got to catch us. We fight back. We're from Texas.
I lie on my back and just expose my belly and close
Stover
my eyes.
Exposes his belly. I vanish like a ninja.
Well, it is the Halloween episode, and I was just mentioning ghosts. Do you think we, I mean, if animals have souls, right, do we get haunted by, we eat so much meat. I mean, are we somehow doomed?
I believe the soul leaves the animal long before it gets to your plate. That's why it's so powerful to eat the heart of your enemies or the heart of an animal, like right while it's still beating, because it still has a little soul in there.
You're ignoring, someone just walked in the studio and he's wearing a cloak and you're ignoring him.
Yoni, I am the ghost of meat's past.
I ain't afraid of you.
You're not afraid of me? Well, look at this.
Oh, God.
I can't even describe what that was.
You need to put some like lightning bolt sounds.
There was a monster. There was a monster in the studio, and I think it was a cow, a zombie cow. Well, one animal that does love you are pigs, since you don't eat them.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a real hurdle at a place at Southside because there's all the pork ears,
buddy. All the pork ears.
What was it like? Actually, would you say it looked like a pig eating when I was eating all that pig?
I would say that. The problem is that I feel like we eat proportionally to how much is on the plate. So right. When there's more on the plate, we just eat more. So, and there wasn't any bread, so I was making like little saltine sandwiches, and we each had like our own sides. So before I knew it, I had put down a ton. I was just standing there like, oh, I had to kind of get up. I got up to get tea, but really just to like walk around and be like, can I handle this? Is this too much meat?
Well, we handled it. We're still alive. Oh, yeah, or are we?
Right?
Halloween best barbecue.
You'll never know. Maybe we're just specters. Have you seen us? Yeah, maybe those are old pictures on Instagram.
People see you in line at you at Snow's every week. You know what I almost just called Snow's?
What?
Yoni's.
Well, Bert's smoker is called Tootsie. Yeah. Renamed Snow, like Bert, we're just getting Trudy's. Lost. We're getting lost in names.
That's Bert from Trudy's Underground Barbecue last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was talking to us while he was in the bath hungover.
Oh my God, he's hilarious.
So what do you say we listen to our conversation with Nick and Brian Bracewell? Again, Brian is third generation owner of Southside, and Nick's helping him take it to the next level.
Yeah. some badass dudes. Let's hit it.
I'm Brian Bracewell, and we're at Southside Market and Barbecue in Elgin, Texas.
And I'm Nick Lindauer.
I'm third generation of my family. The business has been around since 1882. It's been in my family since 1968. You know, and we don't talk in terms of best or any of that kind of stuff because there's a lot of awesome barbecue in Texas. What we do every day is get up every morning, and authenticity means a lot to us. And so we throw wood on the fire just like we did way back when. And we're using simple ingredients, salt and pepper. We're using, you know, we're not getting too fancy with what we're making or what we're doing or the menu items. We're wanting to just serve traditional, authentic Central Texas barbecue, just the way it was done. And so that's my focus every morning and every day, and just try not to screw it up.
I started out as just a Big Green Egg griller, and actually Brian and I met at barbecue camp 2 years ago now?
Yes, sir.
2 years ago. And took about a year. We started talking and I said, okay, I'll make a move. I lived in Houston and I moved here to Bastrop, but came to work here at Southside. Brian and I are a little bit different where I have 8 barbecue pits at home and I cook and barbecue pretty much every night. I don't think I've used my stove in my house more than once or twice. And I don't think Brian has a pit at home.
I've got around about 15 pits at work, and so I pretty much live at Southside. So when I go home, it's not to make barbecue. I make barbecue all day long.
I love how he never even cooks on his home stove.
Yeah, he's the opposite of me because I pretty much do all my cooking inside.
So I'm coming from Houston. So my two favorites in Houston would be Regal's Barbecue. His pastrami is fantastic, and then the Pit Room. They're pulled chicken tacos. Really good.
Man, that's a good question. I don't get out very much. I eat barbecue here at Southside mainly for quality control purposes pretty much every day that I'm here. For us, it's all about sausage, brisket, and pork ribs, and so that's when I eat lunch, that's what I eat. Or that's when I'm walking through, that's what I taste. And we want all of our folks to get to the point where they can look at it and tell if it's going to taste good or not. But so that's what I do all day. When I'm not here, you know, it's grandma's cooking or mama's cooking. That's what I'm all about. If we're going out to buy something, it's normally Italian food or seafood because that's something that I can't do on the barbecue pit.
What is the greatest? Oh, this might be so hard to answer, Yoni, because you've had so much, and I'm trying to catch up. What is the greatest barbecue experience food wise? Could be a side. But discounting the moment, the place, the people, food-wise, what stands out?
You're saying the best, like,
something
bite?
That blew your mind.
I mean, I would say Snow's Chicken.
Oh.
That's one of the reasons I go back. If I don't get anything there, if I get one slice of brisket, I'll always get a half chicken.
That's an interesting one because everyone talks about their brisket a lot, but, you know, everyone also talks about Tootsie, and she's the one doing the chickens, right?
Right, and I'll buy an extra half chicken, and I will take the meat and make all kinds of food throughout the week, and then we'll also keep every single bone, and we make stock out of it constantly. We have probably 5 pounds of Snow's Chicken bones that we're constantly making stock with. It makes the best stock. It's smoky, it's salty, it's flavorful, it's so good.
I think mine, and I reserve the right to constantly change my mind because it seems like every time I eat barbecue, I have a new favorite at one thing or another. But in terms of all my favorites, the one that I remember, and I think I will remember for a long time, was that beef rib at Louis Miller.
Oh, that's legendary.
That's the thing. Like, it didn't feel like a normal meal. It just felt like I was eating something special made by people who kind of invented that idea in a way.
Well, and he's the king of beef ribs. Southside is the, as far as I know, the king of sausage. What do you think?
Yes. I told them there, and this was not a hyperbole. That actually was the best sausage I had. That one that's, it's this huge sausage wrapped in bacon and stuffed with a jalapeno and cheese, cheddar. And, oh, God.
They're cheap, dude. You can buy a dozen.
Look at my eyes. Look at my eyes. They just glassed over.
You're drooling a little bit.
I think I just died. I think I am a ghost now.
Ooh, Yoni, let's listen to Brian discuss his kills.
Well, the general customer in the last decade has gotten really educated on what barbecue is and what good barbecue is. And that's awesome. I mean, back in the old days, you know, some of the chain barbecue that I don't consider barbecue, a lot of customers consider that barbecue. Now, there's some barbecue snobs around, you know. And, yep, I might be looking at a couple of them. Well, in the old days, we had people come in and order brisket. And now we have people that come in and order, I want lean, I want moist, I need some bark, you know. And back in the old days, you know, we'd get a lot of customers every week say, I want brisket, but I don't want any of the black stuff. You know, it's burned on the outside. And so the general consumer is just a lot more educated today than they were 10, 15 years ago. And barbecue's in a different place than it was. Our whole industry has evolved. 10 years ago, our menu prices competed with the fast food joints right down the street. And so when somebody was deciding where to eat lunch, and they knew how much they wanted to spend, you know, we competed against the fast food places. Now, due to the price of proteins, we're competing more with steakhouses, and barbecue's more expensive now than it ever used to be. I think it's more, there's higher quality and better barbecue everywhere than there used to be, but folks have to pay for that. So we've seen that transition happen in the last 10 years. And so at our company, we've put a huge emphasis on keeping it the quality consistent, keeping the quality high and consistent every day, but also adding in some customer service and hospitality with that. Back in the old days, some of the barbecue joints have been around a long time like us. You know, there wasn't very many smiles back then, and it was, you know, you had a couple of choices. It was take it or leave it, you know. And we've had to adjust that because if people come in and pay good money for a meal, they expect to feel good about it and be treated well. And so that's been one of our focuses as well.
They're definitely not screwing it up.
Yeah, and I think it's great that there isn't any competition, just like Bert and Andrew said about each other. Everyone's cooking great food, and so these guys are hitting every button. They're crossing every T and dotting every I. They got all kinds of meat, and they're also killing it with I forgot to ask raw numbers, but I can't imagine there's less than a ton of sausage coming out of there every day.
I love raw meat.
Raw meat numbers.
You know that Southside, he told us, used to be a bank.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's vaults in the front.
Yeah, it's hilarious. They got meat vaults. They don't use them for meat, unfortunately, but I would too. Turn that into a cooler. Put a Yeti sign on it.
I'd turn it into a big smoke room. It'd be interesting.
So it's gone through tons of changes from wagon to bank to meat, you know, I mean,
yeah,
all sorts of stuff. But we also talked to them about what they want in the future. Like we mentioned, they're shipping meat and then they're trying to sell it directly. And you can check it out on their website.
Southsidemarket.com.
And see what you can order there. Get it for your next party because it's good.
Can you take us back to when you were a kid growing up around barbecue, what it was like back then, like from your remembrance?
Sure. Yeah, we never called it Southside. We always called it the market. We would go to the market because we had a butcher shop in front and the barbecue restaurant in the back. And it was centrally located in downtown Elgin, Texas. And so I was walking distance from all the schools, and so I grew up going to school and then walking to the market after school with my little brother and little sister, and we'd spend the afternoons waiting for mom and dad to get off work and before we could go home. And so I spent a lot of time in the meat market, in the barbecue pits, in the dining rooms, just being a punk kid probably, but yeah. Well, back then, I was born in 75, so we moved here in 92. I was 16, about to turn 17 years old. From 1882 until 1992, we never served vegetables or side items in the restaurant. It was meat, meat by the pound. We had pickles, peppers, jalapeno peppers, and onions. And other than that, it was meat. And then you ate that with either crackers or bread. And then soda waters. There was not bottled water back then. You had soda waters. And we didn't serve beer. Bottled Big Red, Orange Crush. Those were the, like, RC Cola. Those were what you ate with barbecue.
No topo back then.
No topo back then. And so it was all on butcher paper. There were no plates. You know, before my time, there the knives were chained to the tables, and you just used the knife, wiped it off, and then you kept using it from the guy who was sitting down in front of you. The health department changed all that in the 70s. Probably so, you know. And so now our best customers bring their pocket knives with them. And so, but that's what barbecue was back then. In 1992, we moved out to the highway. Then we added beans and potato salad to the menu, and we offered plate lunches, plates, not just butcher paper. And so the evolution since then has been a lot more side items, a lot more specialty items like the baby back ribs or turkey breast, things like that, that you didn't see with the traditional old places back in the day.
I've been eating at Southside Market for about a decade living here, and I can tell that they've stepped it up because I think they've felt the heat from other places.
Yeah. Yeah, they've turned up their game.
There's no way the first time I ate there, their brisket was not as good as it was that day. And I'm sure he gave us an extra special one, but I've just noticed they step up their game. The bark, just that was a really good brisket we had there.
Yeah, I know.
He literally took us into the smoker and was cutting in there, and I was stealing slices like as he was cutting them.
Yeah, that was the cool thing to see Brian himself just go back there and give us all this stuff. And, you know, he was paying special attention to what he was stacking up on our giant meat mountain.
Oh, my God. That was great. What a great day.
He called you a barbecue snob.
That's fine.
It's because I was pointing to you behind my hand.
What do you consider the, not the exact recipe for sausage, but what does it take to make a sausage that people will talk about and share that becomes legendary?
Mm-hmm.
Let's think outside the box a little, not the ingredients, but what does it take?
Sausage? Sure. That's a great question. I think it takes the open-mindedness that simplicity is okay. And so you don't have to make it overly complicated. There's not a lot of things that go into good sausage. The smaller the ingredient list, the better normally. I mean, look at a brisket. You're taking a brisket, putting salt and pepper on it, and then post oak in a lot of time, and that's it. And so sausage really can be that simple. And so that's what it's all about for us, just keeping it simple.
When are you happiest here?
When am I? That's a great question. When we were in the barbecue pit just a while ago, and we were talking about what happens in that room, that's when I'm the happiest. I really appreciate what goes in that room. It's not easy. It's hard. But it's cool. It's what I grew up doing. Sausage room is the second happiest place in the building for me, because that's something that our company does very well, make sausage, and not a lot of folks have the ability to do that. And I learned that from my dad and my grandfather, and it's kind of a family tradition for us. And so those two rooms are the happiest rooms. Now, how much percentage of my time do I get to spend in them? Not as much as I would. I could really raise my quality of life if I changed my ways.
Why is it that family food tastes better, Yoni?
The love.
That's right. So the best cooks, the best pit masters are the ones that are able to share that love with strangers.
Yeah. They're sharing their whole soul. I mean, that's the best barbecue is the barbecue that someone put love into. We have yet to go, no matter whether it's these guys whipping out sausages and just tearing through twice as many briskets as most people, Terry Black's is high volume, and then Snow's and, you know, some of the more weekend, slow-paced places. There's still a base level of attention and detail and time that goes into everything that makes it all great.
Well, that's all very true, but I got stuck up when you said whipping out sausages, so I It was hard for
me to whip out that sausage, dude. You got to go. Anyone who hasn't seen it, it's on the Instagram, right? The guy running the sausage out of the machine.
Yeah.
He makes like 30 feet of sausage in 1 second.
It was so cool to watch that sausage being pumped.
They have elevators to lift 300 pounds of meat into the top of that hopper just so they can run it through the sausage thing.
I almost asked Brian if I could just put my mouth on that sausage machine, but I didn't want to embarrass you.
First of all, that would completely destroy the health code of the entire room, and they'd probably... The other thing about this place is it's clean. It's not clean, like the floor is covered in blood, or you'd expect like they were slaughtered, whatever. Like the floor was clean, the walls were clean. He said they clean that place every day. Like most places have that film of smoke from smoking. Even that, it was just like clean walls, clean floors, clean pipes, clean machines. It was awesome.
Well, let's not forget that Brian studied, you know, food safety when he was doing his training, of course. So he cares a lot about not making people sick, which makes him a great man.
And I'm sure between A&M and barbecue camp and all that, I'm sure there's 100 ways they've upgraded that place for different things. I mean, they had a vat of cleaner in the last room where they were cleaning. Just gallons of it.
Yeah, we were having to walk through it. I mean, it makes sense now why they had you wrap up your giant mustache.
Hey, you know.
So go out and try their food. I mean, if you're in Central Texas, you can get there. It's in Elgin.
Yeah. There's also one in Bastrop.
There's also one in Bastrop. We went to the Elgin one. It's the larger one. But check like Sam's Club. Check other places. Check HEB. You can see Southside Sausage so many places. Say that fast. Southside Sausage.
Southside Sausage.
Sally sells. He sells by the Southside Sausage.
You can also order all their stuff online. I was surprised, actually, at how much they offer. They offer almost their full menu, it looks like. And jerky. There's jerky on here.
I say one day for an episode, we just splurge. We save up maybe like Christmas and we order some of this meat from people that we can just drive to, but we get it shipped here to the studio. So, you know, thank you, Southside, for the love. The meat love, but also, you know, welcoming and sharing your story with us and the meat men, because it's a cool one. I'm really happy that we got that chance to spend time with them. I'd had them before. And it was great before, but everything tastes different when you see the people and the love behind the food.
Well, and we had it. He pulled the fresh brisket out of the CVAP. Is that what it was called? CVAP. This awesome machine that keeps the briskets at this perfect temperature and humidity. So he pulled the brisket out, sliced it fresh. I mean, I ate a piece that he had sliced 1 second ago. So it was just nice. He really took the time to feed us and show us the quality of their food.
So thanks to Nick, Meatman Nick, for setting it up. And thanks to Brian for being so hospitable and the entire family. I mean, you're doing great stuff there and can't wait to get back.
Oh yeah, we'll be back.
Speaking of the love, we've been getting some more shout outs and fan letters, which we love.
We love it.
It puts a smile on my face. So we got this one last night from Budster X. That's Buddy, LA. He sent us a note after he listened to our last 2 weeks of Los Angeles-themed barbecue episodes. And he said, "Great episode. Glad my hometown is doing barbecue some justice. You guys forgot to play Moose Craft Barbecue Jingle." We did. Do you remember that song?
Yeah. Moose Barbecue.
Today. Yeah. Today. And he says,
I forgot about that part.
He also liked the fact that I got high while in LA, but he spelled high hashtag HI as a shout out to our Just Say Hi campaign.
Just Say Hi.
We ask all our meat men to say hi somewhere on one of our photos. So he said it in a clever way because, yes, that did happen in California, as I said on the show. Again, legal.
Dr. Forst, is that what it was?
Yeah. Bert from Shooty's Underground Barbecue is a doctor, he said, I think, on the last episode. So he can prescribe that stuff. So thanks, Budster. You're a real buddy, real meat man.
And I appreciate I've been checking all the hashtag meat men. Meat men, meat man, meat women, meat people.
Meet everyone.
Meet Pokemon. That was a fun post.
That was a fun post. Yeah, we have a meat Pokemon on our page. If you want more Best Barbecue, I know you're always dying for more probably. You can check us out on lots of social media. Instagram is our favorite right now, but we're going to be folding in Snapchat and other stuff soon.
Yeah, we're going to start snapping at you.
Snap, snap, snap. So you can see our misadventures throughout the week, not just on show day. Check us out all the time.
Yeah, and check out Stover and my personal pages too.
Yeah, what is yours?
It's just Yoni Levin.
And you're going to have to find me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it out, but find me and then stalk me if you
want. He's only tagged like every other post, so.
Yeah, well, that'll be a true test of the meat, man. Like, if you can't pass that test, then whew.
I'm just saying, you're a real interesting guy, and I don't think the world's discovered you yet.
I'm a mystery oni. The barbecue family is stronger, stronger every day, and the meat man family, super strong. So let's keep that going. Find us on Instagram at Best Barbecue, on Facebook at Best Barbecue Show, and contact at bestbarbecueshow.com. And hop in that mailbag. Come say hi.
Have a good day, folks.
We'll eat some barbecue.
Hey, they're coming to meet me.
This has been a production of Glencliff Media, produced right here in the heart of Texas.